Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And you're on the air with Power Squared. Sorry about the delay. We've had some technical issues. But our special guest is Lucas Scheffel, live from Australia.
Hey guys, how you going?
Sorry about the wait.
No, all good.
It's drivers. You have to hate them.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you've been on the show. You're our sixth time on the show. So how was 2023? I don't think we had you on the show the whole time.
Yeah, 2023. 2023 was a bit of a funky year for me. There was a lot of personal things going on, and just life in general sort of got busy, and I didn't do as much in the comic space as I would have liked to have. I think I got out a issue of Fred and Gary Volume 1, which was like a bunch of dad joke comics that I have on my Instagram, and I just took them and just put them into a book, and I managed to release that. But outside of that, a lot of it was mainly just preparing, like writing, writing some stuff. And I was basically writing my the book that I'm releasing this year, it's called Gary Gorilla Issue 1. So it's a spin-off series of taking Gary Gorilla from the Angry Squad and putting him into like his own universe and world, and taking him on his own journey. So I'm sort of in the midst of prepping to release that. So yeah.
I take it Angry Fred is based on your dad, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Who's Gary Gorilla?
Well, some say it might be me. No.
Should we call you Gary for
now? I don't look like a gorilla. That's a really interesting question. I don't know. Like, I've got this weird obsession with gorillas as well. I don't know what it is. My son comes home from like thrift stores, and he buys like random gorillas, and he buys like soft toys, and he buys them for me. And then on the flip side, when I'm editing in my day job, I randomly we'll throw gorillas into the edits, the video edits that I'm a video editor. And my boss is like, why are you putting gorillas in here? But there's something, I don't know, there's something unique about gorillas. You know, they eat bananas and green leaves, and they're quite muscly and strong. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I like exploring those notions of like taking an animal that can talk and mix with humans. That's kind of cool, and I'm a big fan of King Kong, I guess you could say too. So
yeah,
I don't know, it's not based on anyone in particular. I would like to say it's based on me, but I'm not much of a gorilla.
So I take it from the what little I've seen about it, Elvis somehow makes an appearance here.
Yes,
zombie Elvis or something.
Yeah. So to give you context, this story, the Gary Gorilla issue one, is called King of the Dead. And so basically it sees Gary Gorilla as a hunter of supernatural entities. And he you know, it's kind of like the TV show Supernatural with the Winchester boys. Like, you know, they go from, you know, town to town, and they're obviously searching for something, but right, you know, along the way they always come across like a ghost car or, you know, something random that they have to like fight and, you know, deal with and reveal something about themselves. Similar situation here with Gary Gorilla. But in this issue, he's hanging around, he's about to go to a job, doesn't get to the job because he comes across a town that's overrun by Elvis zombies that have risen from the ground in a cemetery that is purely dedicated to Elvis impersonators. so
is it somewhere outside of Las Vegas or
maybe yeah. It's not really particularly said where it is. Okay. It's somewhere in the world. So so he's got to go deal with that, and in dealing with that, he comes across you know, Elvis, and Elvis plays a big part in sort of helping him deal with these zombies. And you know, that'll continue an interesting story arc later in the second, third, and fourth issue.
Wow.
Which
okay.
So pretty much is written.
So this is sort of your Elvis fantasy come true. You get to work with the king. Is that?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm an Elvis fan. It's funny because this story is actually based on a short film that I had written back in the early 2000s, and when I was still living at home with my mum and dad, when they were young and fit and healthy, I wrote this script, and it was going to be a clay animation, and it was called King of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
And it was going to be a short a little short film where a young skateboarder kid comes across a cemetery that's called Graveland instead of Graceland, sort of like a play on that. And it's home to, you know, dead Elvis impersonators. Obviously, that's where they go to get buried. And then just he takes his girlfriend through this the cemetery, and then lo and behold, you know, like kind of like any zombie film, they rise from their graves sort of thing, and he has to deal with that. And there's a bit of a journey there. It was kind of a fun slapstick type horror zombie type thing that I was trying to create. I never finished it, and I've still got a lot of concept drawings and a lot of things that I created for that. And that's, you know, I looked at that and I was like, oh, I want to do something with that. So I just turned it into the comic, basically put it into that.
So there's gonna be 2, 3, and 4 of this.
There will be, yeah. I've decided to create 28 page issues for each of these 4 issues coming out. So yeah, I want to kind of it's funny because with the Angry Squad, my first few comics, I've kind of treat them like a sandbox or a playground where anything goes. The whatever pages they're going to be, they're going to be random stories and random characters and stuff appearing. But I wanted to sort of reel myself back in and go, hey, hang on, hold up, buddy, let's try and get a bit of structure here and go, okay, let's limit yourself to this number of pages per issue, have, you know, a very simple story, not too much going on, just one sort of, you know, narrative theme going on in one story and follow that throughout the books, and then, you know, create something that I can put together into a volume later on. So that was sort of my whole reasoning behind that, to try that out.
So do you have the same people that drew your first book drawing this, or
no, this is very different. It's funny, working with artists, it's trying to find someone who's got the stamina to keep up with, you know, maybe deadlines and, you know, just the artwork, creating artwork. I found difficult on this one. I think I went through 2 or 3 artists last year trying to figure out to get the right look and feel of the book and, you know, do character concepts. I just couldn't find anyone. And then a few of them, one of them started it and it was, started doing like maybe 3 or 4 pages. I paid him and stuff like that, and he was good. And then he sent through the 5th page, and it looked like AI, like AI or something. Run it through AI, and I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I couldn't get in touch with him after that, so I don't know what happened there. It was
maybe he entered a computer and never
came. Yeah, maybe he became, you know, AI. But yeah, it was hard to find someone who had just, I don't know, like that artistic stamina just to keep up with what I was asking. And I wasn't asking too much, I don't think, but I eventually found a girl over in the Ukraine, and that girl named Vika Zuban, and she's done all the inks on this first issue, and she's also coloring it at the moment, so she's about 8 pages in. So
is she in the Ukraine?
Yeah, she is in the Ukraine.
Wow.
Is she safe,
I guess? I mean,
I've had some chats with her about that. Obviously, it's, you know, from my step, like what she's going through is probably worse than, you know, my standpoint of view, but it's like, where's the pages? Come on. I'm putting myself maybe at risk that, you know, something could happen. But she's safe. She's fine. Like, I've got another guy. It's funny, my first Angry Squad 1 was illustrated and colored by a guy from the Ukraine as well, and I had chats to him during the time when they were, you know, things were getting heated over there, and I was talking to him from, you know, he was in a car park somewhere, you know, at that one point, you know, just taking shelter. But he's fine now, he's back in his home and all that.
I'll get those pages to you.
But I'm glad I can help, like, it seemed, I think it gives them a bit of sanity and peace, and they're very eager to work with me, so, you know. It's good. It's an interesting story there.
That's pretty it's a whole different world
to
deal with, and so they have to worry about drawing your comic book.
I hope it gives them solace or something, and
something to do and get their mind off the situation they're in.
They seem excited when, you know, they communicate, so, which is good.
That's good.
Yeah,
as long as they're safe.
Yeah, they are safe. Yeah,
So you're just, these are new people, you've, and the whole
yeah class. I've got Vicar on this one. She did the inking and she's doing the coloring. I thought I'd try someone new on this just to see if I could build up some sort of other relationship going on there. My previous artist on Angry Squad 2, Martin Pessoa, he's just so busy, it's just so hard to nail him down.
And
it's just one of those things, you just get him at the right time. So I thought I'll start afresh, find someone else to work on this series. And I'm using a letterer by the name of Ez K, or Stephen Cock, here in Australia. He runs the Comics to Movies YouTube show with Sean Keenan. Those guys, what's Sean do? Sean Comics to Movies. He does XCT, Talus of Sparta, does a wide range of comics coming out of Australia.
Uh-huh.
Stephen's quite good with his lettering. He's always been there to help me and mentor me and so many things. So I've got him on lettering, and I've roped in a colorist, Richard Rupik from Angry Squad 2, to do some coloring on the cover artwork, mm-hmm. for the variant covers of this book as well. So
that's cool. I think we've been kind of lucky as we've kind of had a team, though it's changed over time, but there's sort of a continuity.
You
guys got consistency.
We're trying to get them out while we can, I guess,
While you're alive.
Well, at some point,
I guess it's inevitable for all of us, isn't it?
Let's
get a bit dark, isn't it?
Here, but yeah. You're also planning to do some cons this year?
I am. It's funny. I was talking to you guys before we jumped on this call. Last year was an interesting year. It was all funky, but in the middle of the year, just before my birthday, I did a thing called Fraser Pop on the Fraser Coast in Australia. It's a small community-based, comic book convention where they bring, a lot of independent artists together. They had the likes of some celebrities there, obviously. I don't know if you know the guy John Jarrett, who plays the Wolf Creek. He plays the main guy in Wolf Creek, that Aussie horror film. They had.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
No.
No, we don't. We're not really into horror.
No, that's cool. No, if you were, you'd probably know who he is. John Jarrett's a well-known Australian actor. He's been around for a very long time, and he sort of hit his peak, I think, when he got a lot older with them. Playing the character of Mick Taylor, who's this guy that hunts down backpackers in outback Australia,
hunts them down.
Yeah, kills them basically. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's yeah. So random German backpackers go into the centre of Australia, and he's there, living his life, and he does gruesome things to them. But anyway,
is family television in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Totally. No. It's got a bit of a cult following here. He was at that comic book convention, and they had guys like Nathan Jones, who's an Aussie ex-wrestler, I think,
uh-huh.
who's been in things like Mad Max Fury Road and all that. But they had those sort of people there, and I was a part of a little artist alley, and I was selling my book, and it was my first experience interacting with actual people, in face, selling books and trying to figure out who my audience is and trying to work on my spiel, my sales spiel. And really, really good test for me. But it was funny. I was next to a woman who wrote romantic novels,
mm-hmm.
at this convention, and it was just funny watching her little sales spiel when older women would walk by, grandmas and stuff, and she's like, "Oh, are you into romance?" And 9 times out of 10, the husband's like, "Oh, I'm not into romance," but then the wife would be like, "Oh yeah, I like these sort of Mills and Boone style books," and she I learned a lot off of her just watching how she'd interact with people, and she, guaranteed to make a sale straight up. So she knew her audience, she knew what to look for, and
things are entering romance into your books.
No, not quite.
Okay.
But I was watching how many books this lady was selling, and I was like, oh geez, I'm doing all right. Doing okay. So
romance sells.
It does. Yeah, I was super surprised because next to me there was one lady doing that, and I think across from me there was another lady doing the same thing, and I was like, oh god, this is crazy, unreal. But I don't know about that. Oh, see. But
You said you had a
yeah.
funny story about a convention?
Yeah, oh, that was it. Yeah, just
Oh,
her,
okay.
just her story. Just her,
Okay, that was funny. I just didn't know if that
no,
was the story. Okay.
just her way of, like, it just, to me, it was funny just seeing her little tag, like her little line, you know, even into romance, and the husband's like, oh, no, I'm not. And then the
Yeah.
wife is in the background, go, oh, I actually am. Yeah, I'm like, someone actually called it, what did they call it? One of the younger kids, like, oh, I'm not into grandma porn, like, you know. I'm
That's
like,
nice
okay,
and insulting at
what's
the
in these
same time.
books?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway,
Interrelates
so
really well.
get back to my point. I'm going back to that that comic book convention. Well, I'm going back to that comic book convention next this year, and then I've got about five or six others that I'm going to as well in the same sort of area. So
Did you go
yeah,
to one in a high school?
that was the one. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
that's yeah, that was at a
See,
it's at
I keep up.
Maryborough State High School. Yeah, it's funny. It's Maryborough is this really interesting place, sort of about 3 hours out north of like Brisbane in Queensland, and it's actually the home of the lady that wrote Mary Poppins. It has a museum there that's dedicated to her. Really, if you're ever in Australia and you ever go there, go check it out, because it's a really interestingly interactive experience in this museum. And you walk into it, and there's things that she owned, like, you know, books that she wrote, you know, pieces of paper, drawings and stuff, like all, you
Yeah.
know, Walt Disney stuff as well. But yeah, really, really interesting experience. So
I would have thought
that's,
she would have
yeah.
been English, honestly.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I think she came out to
Okay.
live. Yeah. She
Okay.
grew up mainly. But when you walk around the town, you see the rotundas, you see certain things like trains and, like, you know, rivers and stuff. You're like, ah, oh, like when you watch the movie, like, well, and you read the book, you know, ah, oh, that's what that's been inspired from. So yeah,
Okay. Huh.
pretty cool. But
Interesting.
yeah, that's, yeah, I'm going back to that one. So
Okay.
yeah.
We've been watching one of Australia's main exports recently called Bluey. Have you familiar
Yes,
with that show?
Bluey is absolutely fantastic. I could highly recommend it to everybody.
Yes,
Bluey is amazing.
we even
Yeah.
went to the we went to the play in
Oh,
that.
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it
Oh,
was
wow.
actually, I mean, it was obviously they're not actually acting, you know, it's
Yeah.
the voices and stuff, but it was
Voices,
actually
yeah.
emotional at the very end. I
Yeah.
was very
Yeah. Yeah.
so yeah, it was
Bluey. Bluey has taken the world by storm. I'm astounded every time, everywhere I go. Like, I meet people that talk about Bluey, but like every shop, like, it's funny for us Australians because there's hardly anything on TV or movie wise that's really gone further than the kitchen sink, you know what I mean?
yeah.
And like for this to sort of go from whatever, you know, this TV show that we were watching, I was watching my son when he was, you know, younger and growing up, I still do. Like it's so unique, it's so wonderful, it's got a heart, it's good for kids, it's good for parents. It's like, but I walk into, like, you know, stores and I see Bluey underwear, Bluey socks, Bluey t-shirts,
Not
like
for adults,
Bluey
right?
lunchboxes. It's like, no, but it's like their IP is just everywhere. And I'm like, and then I'm seeing, what is it, what's that famous parade that you guys have got over in New York where they have the
Thanksgiving
big,
Day Parade, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
they had the big
Oh,
Bluey
yeah,
balloon
sure.
up and stuff. And I was like, wow, this is like taking the world by
Yeah,
storm. Like,
it's pretty
and some of
amazing.
the characters and stuff, like, we there's a specific episode, I think it's called, is it Grey Nomads? I think it's Grey Nomads, where they go on a road trip and they're stuck behind these oldies in a camper van
Yeah,
and they
right.
can't get by. Like, we laugh at that. My wife and I, we laugh at that episode. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it to the point where have you seen the episode Hammer Barn? Where
Yes.
it's like they
Yeah.
go,
Oh, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
yes. So we have a store in Australia that's based on a store in Australia called Bunnings. So our big hardware chain is called Bunnings, right?
Yeah.
And it's
Bunnings.
exactly the same, you know, coloring and like the way the aisles are set up. But it's so funny what they did here a few months back. There was two stores, I think, across the country. They rebranded the whole store and they called it Hammer Barn, and all the staff dressed up like the Bluey thing, and they were selling the gnomes that you see in that
Oh
episode in there.
God.
You can buy them, and it's like, oh wow, like what a trip.
I still
But
like if you go past row 300, you've gone too far, or something like
yeah,
that, or you passed
yeah.
the
Yes,
past the
yes.
flamingos, you've gone too far.
And like in that, I think it's in that episode where the kids, they go to the wall of color swatches for paint swatches.
Sure. Yeah.
My son, like even before we watched that episode, my son was always in Bunnings, just pulling those out, and you know they were randomly in the car in the house, like oh, hits the nail, like really just so good.
Yeah.
One thing I like about Bluey is how unapologetically Australian it is.
yes, exactly.
It's a good window into Australian culture.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad that they didn't change it to, you know, suit overseas needs, and they just obviously left it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, the things that are similar.
Okay.
You know, and then there's like little, like the you eat different things than we do. You watch cricket,
right.
And you watch rugby, which are things that we are, I mean.
Rugby's, I don't really get rugby. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't understand rugby league, like that game. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you understand cricket?
Yeah, I used to play cricket when I was young, yeah.
Okay, you might explain it to us?
Well, it's English, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Australia
kind of England South, kind of? It didn't start that way.
Yeah, basically. We were colonized by them. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, they brought that to us, but yeah.
Yes.
Cricket's, I think baseball has such a very unique sort of energy to it, but cricket's very slow and...
Baseball
sitting out there in the sun all day, and I'm just
baseball. I consider baseball slow.
You do?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Maybe I'm thinking
it's a 3-hour game, and a perfect game is nobody gets a hit. You know, I was like, wow.
strikes.
You know, and I know there's strategy and all that sort of stuff, but it's just just looks
curveballs and stuff.
And they play like 180 games of it or something. You know,
so
I really only follow one team in one sport. And
what's that?
It's I'm from Dallas. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the NFL.
Cowboys, right?
NFL, and I really have, you know, passing, you know, interest in other things, but I don't really. I'm not one of those guys that sits down every Saturday and watches college football and every game on Sunday and Mondays or Thursday. And all that.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
Okay.
So I watch one team and one sport, and you know, kind of live or die as how well they do. But
yeah, cool. That's awesome.
So cricket looks
this
like.
It's funny. It's funny with cricket. It's traditional, you know. Out of the UK, like England versus Australia, or England, you know, well, Australia versus, like, you know, the West Indies or Pakistan. There's always been that, India, there's always been that rivalry.
Right.
And it's like, you know, where they do the test matches where it goes on days on end.
What is a test match? I don't understand. I've heard that expression. I have no idea what that means.
Well, I don't know. Put simply, it's like long innings of each person batting, each person bowling. And, you know, they try and score as many runs, who is batting, and then obviously who's bowling tries to score as many wickets. And it goes on for, you know, hours in the day, and then it, you know, can go in a week or whatever it is. And they somehow sum it up with whoever gets the most wickets or, you know, most runs wins. But when I was growing up, so they had that, right? There was Boxing Day test after Christmas, straight day after Christmas. They had Boxing Day test in Sydney, and you know, everyone would go out to view that, and it's, you know, whatever. When I was growing up, I think it was in the late 80s and into the 90s, they started to introduce, and I think they got some sort of influence from America, from the USA. They started to introduce what they call one day internationals, like one day games of cricket.
Uh-huh.
And it was like they started in the afternoon. Instead of wearing the traditional white, Australia would come in with the yellow and green, and, like, you know, the West Indies would come over and they'd be in the, you know, maroon. And it was like fast paced, you know, cricket. So it's like they had a certain amount of innings, a certain amount of bowls to bowl. And, you know, they were going for it. And back then you had cricket players who liked to drink beer in Australia. They loved to eat meat pies.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't concerned about their health. They had big moustaches, you know, porn star moustaches. They had big bellies.
Uh-huh.
But they knew how to put on a show. And, you know, it was really intense sort of stuff. Like, they'd get out there, they'd be hitting the ball for six, you know, trying to run and, like, you know, smashing wickets and getting really heated and stuff. And that, to me, was really fun sort of cricket when I was growing up. More so because of the personalities of the people and, you know, who were involved and all that. Like,
see, my experience with cricket has been through Monty Python and Bluey, so it's not like a real, you know. I'll just ask the question. When you say wickets, is that the little things behind the batter that he's trying to knock down?
Yeah.
Is that
what the three long sticks that stick into the ground, and then they have like the bales, the two bales that sit on the top.
Uh-huh.
And so when you hit that, the bales have to come off. If you hit it with the ball and the bales don't come off the wickets, then it's not out, technically not out. Okay. But, yeah.
And then is the batter running between two posts or something?
Yeah, between the two wickets. So one batter is at... So this sounds so bizarre when you explain it, actually. So you've got the cricket pitch, which is a rectangle, and then two wickets either side.
Uh-huh.
There's the batter... The bowler bowls it to the batter. He hits it, and then if he thinks they run. So he's got his teammate, the other batter. They run from one side to the next, and that's counted as one, you know, one run.
Okay.
If they hit the ball over, hit the ball out into the oval, and it goes over the boundary line, just rolls over. That's a four, so they get four runs.
Oh.
But if they've got enough power and they hit it and it goes over. Like, it doesn't touch the ground, it goes over into the crowd. That's a six.
Okay.
So they get six runs. So that's, I guess, the simplest of the scoring.
This is how much I know. It's like a wooden ball, right?
So I think it's wrapped in sort of pig's leather or something like that, or some sort of animal leather. And with inside, you know, it's stitched around. So it has like a seam on it. And it has interesting stitching. So when the ball hits the ground, there's different types of bowlers as well. There's like, you know, fast paced bowlers who are just like full, you know, run up really fast.
Uh-huh.
You got medium paced bowlers. That's obviously changes the difference. And then you got slow paced bowlers, and then you got spin bowlers. And there's a very famous Australian cricket player who passed away a few years back called Shane Warne. And he was really good with, when he broke out onto the scene with spin bowling, like, he changed cricket forever. Like, literally changed it forever. Like, he rocked up to England and they were doing a test match, and he was this young kid who went through the cricket academy in Australia. And he had, I don't know how he devised this interesting spin bowling technique. When it left his hand when he bowled it, he had so much spin on it, when it hit the ground, it would do weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
It would just go, it would fool the batsman, and like, it would literally go around there. Literally, it felt like it was like a magic bullet and went around in between their legs and hit the wickets behind them. It was just unreal. Unreal what he did. He was an interesting guy, yeah.
So does the batter have to hit the ball every time, or?
Not every time. Like, they can let it go, let it through. When they let it through back to the wicket keeper behind, like, I guess, I can't remember what it's called in baseball, but...
catcher.
The catcher, yeah. It's not a strike or anything like that. If it hits their legs, so if they miss it and it hits their front, depending on who they are, let's say their front left foot, and it hits their pad, there's this thing called LBW. And if the umpire at the end thinks that if that ball didn't hit the batsman's leg and it's direct, and it, if it didn't hit the batsman's leg and it was in line with the wickets and it would have hit the wickets, then that's an out. He's okay. out.
Wow. All right.
But that's the most bizarre rule about it. But no, they don't have to hit it every time. But, you know, you want to hit it to score runs. And,
Do you have, in baseball, you have like outfielders trying to catch the ball and stuff? Do you have that in cricket?
Yeah, they do. Do they have, at the back, you know, got the catcher who is the wicket keeper. So he's got the gloves on. He's the one who, if the ball goes through, he grabs it, throws it back to the bowler. And then next to him, he's got, teammates who are called slips. So just in, you know, say for instance the batsman comes up, hits the ball and it nicks the side of the bat and it goes to the edge behind him, those guys can catch that as well. And then there's obviously outfielders that they're all called different points along the field. They've got different names. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't recall what they are. But there is one point that they call silly, I think it's silly mid-off. And like, so if you were to picture the cricket field and there's the batsman, there's one position that I don't know who created it. You have to wear a helmet and it's right near the cricket pitch, right up near the batsman. It's almost there to intimidate, you know, the batsman. So if he accidentally, you know, you could hit this guy if you like really right. full force. And I've seen some very interesting stuff happen over the years where, you know, one batsman will hit it and it will just go directly for this guy who's right there and he'll grab it and, you know, he's out sort of thing. So when you catch it, he's out. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
that sounds like a really low man on the totem pole. That's your job.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
If he hits you with the bat, well, you know.
That's why they call it silly mid off or whatever it's called. Silly mid off. Something like that. I can't remember. But yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and one last question. There's two. Yeah. There's batters on both sides. Does the pitcher turn around and throw the other guy at some point, or
is it? They only rotate. Like,
I see.
On the pitch, so they rotate each innings. Yeah, so the baller, I think it's more the bowler will he'll rotate. He'll bowl from the other end, and the other batsman will go from that end because it's I think
there's one the way that the pitch, all have to do from.
Yeah okay. So there's. There's one on the pitch. Obviously, it's you know, it's cured and created and, you know, by a groundsman in a certain way. And
sure.
once it gets, you know, the balls on it and stuff like that, they don't touch it. They don't, you know, anything. So that plays into the game as well. When they bowl it, wherever the ball hits, you know, that dictates what happens with the ball as it hits the ground, the pitch, and stuff like that. So yeah,
sounds
bizarre. It sounds bizarre, me explaining it, and I'm thinking in my head, watching me doing it, I'm like, oh, that's what a bizarre game.
It just it seems like, yeah, maybe that's why I didn't catch on in America.
No, you guys have got cool sports over there, you know, your baseball and your NFL and all that. Nice hockey.
I've received a different Bluey-themed question.
Okay.
First. How okay. do you play Pass the Parcel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, this is... So can you guys get me up to scratch? What are they doing in Bluey that's so unique and different with Pass the Parcel?
Oh, we don't play Pass the Parcel.
You don't play Pass the Parcel over there.
I mean, I've never seen it. Have you?
Okay.
What?
Pass the Parcel when you went to a not birthday IRL, party? No. Yeah.
Then Bluey, there's that. Have you seen the Bluey episode about it?
I have, but I've forgotten. So what? Normally, when I play Pass the Parcel when I was a kid, it was like. It's just one kid gets it at the end. Is that is that right? There's this one rapper at
one in the middle. Yeah.
Was it Jerry's dad way or something?
Yeah, that episode was about how that kind of changed, and they had it where the parents tried to have it where there was a present in every layer. Lucky's dad insisted on playing it where it was one president in the middle, and then the kids come around to that.
This isn't the 80s.
This isn't the 80s.
So yeah, every kid, it's sort of like everybody gets something out of it, but it's kind of like musical chairs here. So that's not how you played it, where it's just one.
Just one. We were it was literally the '80s, so everyone was just
did you ever do that with
anything else? Sorry?
Did you ever do that with Phoenix?
Pass the Parcel? He has done Pass the Parcel in some birthdays, but we'd never had it was just one at the end. But you do see
like his dad's way. Thank you.
Yeah. Traditional, yeah. But you kinda look at all the kids and I don't know if it's bad.
Is it a cool little gift or something? Or
it depends how hard out the parents wants to go, you know? Like you wouldn't be putting a PlayStation 5 in there anyway.
Just the batteries for one. When I was a kid back in a long time ago, you went to someone's birthday party, you gave them a present, and maybe you had cake and ice cream. Now you're supposed to give them a little thing,
like a candy lolly bag.
Yeah,
at the
something
end.
Yeah. For, thanks for coming. Here's some extra.
I thought that was normal. That's what I got when I was.
That's not the traditional way. We didn't play Pass the Parcel either.
Oh, cool. Well, it gives you an insight into Australia and what you know, some of the things we have. Like the two grannies are my favorite, Rita and
they're
so funny. What's the other one? Rita and
Janet. My wife, Janet. I gave her a little Rita and Janet for Christmas.
Beautiful.
That's nice. Yeah, and I like the one where it's their the little cart little motorized.
The Granny Mobile?
Yeah, Granny Mobile.
Yes. Yes.
But you get the idea that, you live in a caravan, so I guess maybe. They make the houses look like they're like open to the.
Yeah, well, they're based on houses in Queensland, namely in Brisbane, in the capital city, which are very big Queenslanders that are open house. Because it's hot, a lot of airflow. So they're called a Queenslander. They're made of weatherboard, and they're structured in a way that makes, you know, you can open windows on one side and the other side, and you know, airflow will go through. Correctly to cool the house down. So yeah, but
go ahead. No, you're explaining.
No, I don't know what I was gonna say.
No, that's fine. I just would hear you'd be worried about bugs flying in and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, depending on where you are, you have mosquitoes and flies, but like a lot of the houses now, you know, everyone's got fly screens and that sort of thing. But if you still have houses like that, they maybe security screens as well. But yeah. You get that. I guess that's the tax you pay on living in Australia.
Well, there was also the when they take out the, these are little differences between LA and Australia, I guess. But when they take out the trash, it was only the full moon or whatever, quarter moon or something, is when you took out the recycling or whatever. Here it's like every week, it's everything goes out.
Yeah, okay, I'm trying to think. Is that more like hard rubbish, like a lots of rubbish, or because we still take our trash out every week?
Well, but there was one time that you took out what we would call here the blue can, which is all the recycling paper and all that kind of stuff. Is that how that works?
Yeah. I'm trying to maybe give some context. I probably haven't seen that episode, but like every week we take out. We've got two bins. Like obviously, well, some places you have three bins. Like you have. Your greens, like your grass clippings and your leaves and stuff, and then you have your normal rubbish, and then you have a bin for recyclables as well, and they rotate throughout, you know, every week. But then there's a thing called hard rubbish where the council will collect maybe once a month or whatever it is, quarterly, stuff that you don't want to go take to the dump or pay like the rubbish tip to pay for.
Right.
So, you know, people will be leaving couches and, you know, old chairs and old fridges on the side of the road.
People do that here.
Yeah, well, they probably do it out there and just, yeah. But it's funny when they do that, you see all these other people rolling around with trailers on the back of their car and they pick up all random junk and they ended up flipping it, you know.
Sure.
To make a buck.
It's good, you know.
Yeah,
I just don't want this couch anymore. It doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, no, exactly. So there's that side of the things too.
But, yeah. You call to arrange for that kind of a pickup here,
right?
In LA, yeah. I don't know. I'm
in
not
LA,
saying
yeah.
There's not an American standard, but
yeah.
And we
yeah.
also
no no I yeah I understand that yeah.
And now but in it,
yeah
with the
yeah.
green stuff, they're supposed to put food in there too.
Yeah, they started doing that some here as well. Yeah, they started implementing that too.
A lot of
yeah.
flies, thank you. You know.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta yeah.
The fly vote.
Oh man, I have to get you some. They probably sell them over there, like Bluey toys. I think they're all different. They're probably the same over there than out here.
You never know.
Yeah, I'll next time I'm in the store, I'll take some photos and I'll send them to you guys and see if you want any. I'll send them some. I'll get you a gnome from Hammerbarn.
Oh wow, that would be awesome. No, we were looking for like. Hammer Barn shirts and stuff. They weren't sure they were legit, you know. Cause...
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got the. Do you got? Is it aprons? The
Home Depot here has.
Home Depot, yeah. Like
yeah.
With Hammer Barn, I can get one of those if you want. I'll go to Bunnings and check it out. So,
yeah. Oh, that'd be interesting because it was just like a really, you know, kind of you can, you know. Sympathize with the guy, you know, because you want what your neighbor's got. That's really
cool. Exactly. Oh, cool. Bluey's awesome.
Yeah, well, now we could talk about it. That was
I've got a few. Related?
Have you seen the play? Because I know it started down there.
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten to the play. No.
Oh man,
yeah,
it was actually. I mean, again. We saw it where they actually, we saw it in the theater where they do the Academy Awards, actually.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah. I've walked at the steps there. And had a look. Had a peek in. Yeah.
That's where they had it. And we, something went where with our tickets or something? We actually had physical tickets.
Yeah.
Which they don't give anymore.
Oh, they didn't know what that was, did they? They were like, what's this?
But I mean, I think there was something.
Somehow they couldn't read his phone, so he had to get the tickets printed at the box office.
So we actually got
that
tickets.
That means they have physical tickets.
And
then we tried to buy, a t-shirt or something after the show, and they hardly had anything.
Well, they sold out.
Nothing adult sized, and I was like, "Yeah, see, now a huge audience here."
Yeah, right.
And the guy was wearing a Bluey T-shirt. It's like, well, it's kind of mean you're wearing it. You can't buy one. So he acted like, I kind of got the feeling he was looking like, "You're an adult. You shouldn't want this stuff."
Yeah, but he's got the shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing it. Yeah.
I just work it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But no, it was actually very well done for. What it was.
Oh, beautiful. Was it the actual voices of the actual people that did the show? Oh, wow.
They had pre-recorded the actual voice actors, and so they played that over the system.
Yeah, right.
And,
so they had life-size puppets.
Done.
And what people dressed in black to try to hide it, right?
In green.
Green.
To blend in with the environment.
Right.
And they
actually, some, just, yeah.
Yeah, wow. They just acted to the same pace as the
as the recording. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, something that would trip you out is it no longer exists. Early on, when Bluey came to fruition and it got so popular, there was a house in Brisbane that was rented out as an Airbnb, and they styled and themed it as the Bluey family house. And I think it got sold recently. I don't know what happened there, but you could go stay there on the Airbnb, book it, you go stay there, and it was down to the T, exactly like I have to send you a link and show you if I can find some pictures, but that looked really cool.
So you're back to driving around Australia in a caravan.
We are. So about 6 months ago we decided to take off again after being in a rental for about a year. Packed everything up again and went back on the road. And then we headed straight out to the west of Queensland into the desert, and we went to a place called Winton. There's a triangle of different places out there that mainly were mostly to do with mining, and there used to be a sort of a Cobb & Co. coach trail back in the day that had bush rangers on it and weird stuff going on, but it's literally the desert. But out there, farmers have all these big properties, and a lot of these farmers have gone from being farmers to being, I guess, dinosaur fossil diggers. They'd be driving around on their dirt bikes, and they go, "Oh, what's that on the ground?" And they look and like, "Oh, this looks like a fossilized stick or, shrunk or something." But they keep digging and they realize, "Oh, shit, it's a dinosaur that no one knows about." Huh. And so there's a lot of that going on in there. And they have this cool museum out there where you can go and you can see these gigantic dinosaurs that have been dug up. And you can see, at one place we went to, they actually had found a stampede of different dinosaurs, like tiny little dinosaur footprints that had been taken off, a flood had come through and just revealed it and had been fossilized underneath, perfect footprints of big dinosaurs being chasing little dinosaurs, and a little story had been told, so they built a big museum over it just to preserve it and get people to come see it.
So is that where you are now, or somewhere else?
No, we were there a while ago, sort of end of last year. Now we're in the south coast of New South Wales, 3.5 hours outside of Sydney. We're in a little community called Kyola. It's a beachside town. Really, really friendly town. Everyone's so friendly here. A lot of people go surfing, fishing, snorkeling. My wife's actually got a job at the cafe here at the moment. She just randomly walked in and become really good friends with the family here. We're kind of adopted by this family, so we're just sort of hanging out here for a bit until we go back up to Queensland around the end of April this year. So
okay. I mean, do you have a schedule, or you just kind of go where the wind blows you, or
we were going where the wind blows us for this here. So, but now we're only going up to Queensland to do my comic convention tour, so that's what we're doing, and we're going to go see family up there and spend my birthday, my son's birthday up there, and then we're going to do that for a bit, and then I think we're going to park the van up there, and then we're going to take a trip over to Tasmania for a couple of weeks, just to fly over and check it out for a bit, and then come back Queensland, and then we're going to come back to where we are now, and hang out here for a little. We like it here. It's kind of a, the people are nice, community's nice. There's a lot of cool things that we've been involved in, so we're just enjoying it. So
It's called what? What's the name of the town?
It's Kiola. K-I-O-L-O-A. Kiola.
So when we come over, you can put us up in the caravan. That's great. I'm looking
Yeah, I've got a... There's a tent out now.
Yeah.
No.
The guest room is a tent.
It's... Yeah. Sorry, I can't be accommodating.
That would be funny. It's a tent out back.
Yeah, there's a tent out back. It's funny actually where we are. There's a lot of wildlife where we are. There's a lot of kangaroos that come at, in the afternoons that eat around the caravan. And there's a lot of kookaburras that, you know, just laugh in the trees and stuff. I've never seen so many kookaburras. It's amazing. So yeah, really, really in the thick of it all. So yeah, of nature.
All right. So you're gonna. When is your Kickstarter?
Yeah. So Gary Gorilla issue one will be launching on Kickstarter on the 20th of May of this year. So keep an eye out for that. So you can go to angryfredcomics.com and there's a link there to the pre-launch page.
Right. I've signed up.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sure. I think we're nearly at 90 followers on the pre-launch page, which is the most I've ever had on any pre-launch page, which is good. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we will definitely... have you back if you're available when you launch your Kickstarter.
Always available for you guys. That'd be great. That'd be amazing.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have you back and you can talk about all the cool stuff you have for it.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you have more? You have like little Angry Freds before? Do you have little Gary Gorillas now? Or?
Yeah, I'll have some Gary Gorilla mini figurines for sure. I'm thinking of maybe dressing up in a Gary Gorilla costume for maybe the next appearance. How does that sound? If you guys just turn on your camera and you join, I'm like here. Would that work?
Well, that'd be great. Okay, we're going to hold you to it. Okay, so thank you for being on the show. Appreciate you taking it.
Pleasure.
Saturday afternoon there?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Okay.
All right, and it's fall, right?
What is fall?
No, it's turning into spring. It's fall spring. Weather.
Spring?
Right?
Is that spring? Yeah.
It's spring autumn. Here. It's fall spring. There.
Yeah, it is. That's okay. Correct. Yeah. It still feels like summer. But anyway.
All right. So, and until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And you've been on the air with Power Squared.